Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us again to hear another message from God. It is always a privilege to have an opportunity to proclaim the Word of God, and for that, I am thankful. And I would like to thank God for this opportunity to present to you a word without addition or subtraction. And we all have so much to be thankful for today, amen? We should be thankful for His blessing of life, for we know that we have another opportunity to get it right. And I would like to thank the brothers for serving this afternoon thus far, and I would like to thank Brother Stroud for the invitation to speak, and the leadership at the Highland Heights Church of Christ for allowing me this opportunity. And I would like to take a moment and welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ. It is my prayer that you render obedience to the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. And it is my hope that you become a Christian today, because tomorrow isn't promised. And after Bible class this morning, we did have another baptism. Someone that rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the power is in the gospel. And if you are real with yourself, once you hear that old story, you can't do anything but obey it. That's if you are seeking the truth. John 4:23-24 says that the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. So you have to be seeking the truth. You have to be seeking that truth to worship God, and then He seeks you. And that truth, you must hear that old story how Jesus came from glory to save us from a sin-sick world. And Jesus, He died for your sins that you may have hope, that we could have hope at that eternal life. He shed His blood that will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and the same blood purchased His church, Acts 20:28. That same blood will wash your sins away, Acts 2:38, Revelation 1:5. And it just didn't stop there, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's that gospel story, how He died for your sins, buried in a borrowed tomb, rose again that third day. We must obey that gospel and be added to His church. Obey that gospel, realizing we are dead in sin, be buried with Him in a watery grave of baptism, and we can rise and walk in newness of life. We mimic that death, burial, and resurrection, and upon that obedience, we are added to the church. And that's how we become a Christian. It's not until then that you can call yourself a Christian and a true servant of Christ if you abide in His doctrine. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Your obedience to His word proves your love for Him. Amen. That's a sermon in itself. The preaching of a cross, that's what saves us all. I can give the invitation right now because you've had an opportunity to hear what saves, and that's that gospel story. But for a few moments here, we'll look at a couple passages of scriptures, and the evening will be yours. And I'm going to go to the book of Galatians. And this book was written by the Apostle Paul, who was referred to as one of the chief of the apostle, and the title of my message this afternoon is The Heart of a Servant. And before we get into the passage here, we must know what the heart is. And see, we know that the heart is our think tank that controls what we do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. See, the mind controls what we say. See, the mind controls how we think. And the mind controls what we do. See, it houses the real you. It is our hearts or our mind that we should so diligently work on. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. If you want to be serious about your Christianity, brothers and sisters, we need to do this. We need to be diligent. We need to be persistent. We have to be careful in guarding our hearts with what we put in. And so now that we understand that our heart is our mind, and the title of this lesson is The Heart of a Servant or The Mind of a Servant, but what is a servant? And see, a servant is defined as one who voluntarily chooses to serve another. A servant is defined as one who voluntarily chooses to serve another. And some of us may have, or many of us may think that a servant and a slave can be used interchangeably. But there is a difference between a servant and a slave. See, a slave is taken against their will and forced to serve in some capacity. See, a slave, again, is one who is taken against their will and forced to serve in a certain capacity. Jesus said in John 8:34, he says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And Paul also reminds us in Romans 7, he says that the good I know to do, I don't do, but the evil I know I shouldn't do, that I do. And he goes on to keep saying that, but who can deliver me from this body of death? And that's Romans 7 and verse 25. He said, but I thank God through Jesus Christ can help him with that. And Romans 6:16 says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey? Ye servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience to righteousness. See, sin, brothers and sisters, can and will hold you captive. But you have a choice to be a slave to sin or a servant to righteousness. So you can choose. See, a servant has a choice to choose. So what will you choose? Will you choose sin? But be careful. It will hold you captive. Because sometimes some sin can be too good to let go, huh? How can something so wrong feel so right? But that's when you are spiritually dead and enslaved to sin. So there's a difference. We don't want to be captive and held captive to sin. We want to be a servant of righteousness. We want to choose righteousness. And we have that choice. We have the choice. We know right from wrong. You know right from wrong, brothers and sisters. And you have the liberty and freedom to make the choice that you want to make in this life. And in the book of Galatians, Paul is writing a letter to the churches of Galatia, and he is reminding them of their liberty or their freedom here. In Galatians chapter 5, here at verse 13 is where I'll start, through 15, and it reads, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And see, Paul is reminding the Christians here that he's saying, brothers and sisters, he's saying, we have been called to liberty, that we have been freed. He said, you have been called to liberty. You have been freed. And how were we called? We know we were called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, we are called by the gospel. And he's telling us that he's reminding them. He's saying, look, brothers and sisters, you've been free from the wicked ways of death. You was dead in your sin. You heard that gospel. You obeyed it. Why? Why would you go back? Why would you go back to thinking of self and living life as you see fit? But the gospel calls us, called you and gave you an opportunity away from that. It freed you. And Paul is reminding us here is that we shouldn't use our liberty to serve yourself. We shouldn't use your liberty to serve yourself and obey your fleshly desires and lusts. And Paul tells us that our freedom is not for yourself, but use it. Use it. He tells us how to use it. He says, but use it as an opportunity to love and to serve one another. But why? Why is he saying that? Listen to me closely for the root of my message here today. Here's my message to you all today, brothers and sisters, friends and family. If we can get this right, we won't have a problem in this life. But it takes being diligent and it takes work. In John 4:7-8, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, if we go back to this passage here, and Paul is telling us that do not use freedom as an opportunity of flesh, but through what? Through love. Serve one another. But what is love? I just showed you in John 4:7-8, it said, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For God is love. And Paul says in Galatians 4:8-9, and he reminds them, he was like, you knew this, you have been freed from this sin. But how can you be weak again and desire to go back into bondage where you was dead in sin? How, since you've been freed, why would you go back to slavery to self and to sin and put yourself in the same situation? He goes on to say, I'm afraid for you. Why would you do that? And if you know the Apostle Paul in your studies, to where Paul was known as one of the chief of sinners before his conversion. And he told them, he reminded them of that in Galatians chapter 1. He reminded them of that. He said, you heard of my former conduct, how I persecuted the church. And beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. And as I was doing this study, I was in Tinahaw, Tyler, Texas last week, and Brother Ruffin, he preached a message about the Apostle Paul, and he gave an analogy of how ruthless Paul was. He persecuted the church. He basically walked around killing people who call themselves Christians. And he made a joke about some of the teenagers may understand this, will understand that song, MO3, how he was saying that they scared to come outside. That was Paul with Christians, waiting on them. You call yourself a Christian? He was waiting on you. Come outside. Where I'm going to see you, that's where you're going to lay. And that's what he did. That was the Apostle Paul. That was his mentality, that was his zeal before he learned to do better, before he learned the truth. And he got his new name, Paul. That's why he's the Apostle Paul now. And he went about teaching and preaching and became known as the chief of the apostles after his conversion. And it's the same with us. When we learn better, we should do better. And not go back to our old ways. Not go back to the mindset that we used to have before the conversion. And as I mentioned, it takes work. And Paul was saying, how can you go back to this bondage? How can you go back to doing what your fathers and were saying that's not what we live by anymore? Matthew 5:17, Jesus came to fulfill the law. And that's what we live by in this New Testament. But Paul is saying, be careful. He's reminding them that you were free from these sins. Why would you go back to living how you used to live? And family and friends, we must get right. We got to get serious about our salvation. Because if we are not careful, we can find ourselves going through the motions every day in our daily lives, in our service to God. Just think about yourself for a moment. Just think about what you do. Just think about your routine as a Christian. How do you live throughout the week? Just think about yourself and your routine. Do you come to church? Do you attend church out of habit? Do you get on the call out of habit? Where is your heart at? Do you sing in fellowship with passion, focusing on God and reflecting on our Savior? Do you sing with the same enthusiasm the way you sing the songs on the radio? Whoa, watch out now. Do you give happily when it's time to give? Do you listen to learn so you can teach others? Or just hear the message for the day to make you feel better that you did your part. Being a true servant of Christ takes a daily sacrifice. How much time do you devote in your day in being of service to others? And see, as Paul saying, you should love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, we won't have issues. If all of us just practice this principle, render obedience to God's truth, practice this principle, we wouldn't have the problems we have in this world today. But let it not be you. See, if we love your neighbor as you love yourself, we won't have these problems. Then how many of you can't get along with yourself? You the problem, if that's the case, and not no one else. See, you can only control you. God's word says treat those around you like you would treat yourself. And then Paul reminds us that if we don't, we will be consumed. That's the vision. See, when we are not unified, if we are not unified, then we are divided amongst the brotherhood. And when that happens, it can be exhausting. And Paul is saying here, be careful. Division rises with the lack of love, with the lack of a godly spirit. And Paul continues in Galatians 5:16. He gives us instruction. He says, now that I told you this, he said, but listen here, I say then, he tells us what to do. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the love, the lust of the flesh. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, we have to keep walking in the Spirit. With a big S, it's continual, and in this walk, we are walking or traveling along this journey, the path that Jesus, an example that he set before us. And he says, and while you're walking, do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And see, the spirit is the right attitude inspired by the word of God. And see, God's spirit can't dwell with us with sin in our lives. And with us being a self-service and not serving others. Where is your heart today? Where is your heart at? Romans 8:5 reminds us that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Where is your heart? Where is your mind? On the flesh or of the Spirit? And Paul goes on to remind us of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the first thing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. When you have love, then joy. You can have joy despite what's going on in your life. You can have peace. Despite the turmoil and trials or situations that you're dealing with, you can still have joy and peace, long-suffering, because you know that God is with you and you're going to make it through. And he goes on to say, kindness, being kind, goodness, being good, faithfulness, gentle, and self-control. And see, we don't need a law to know what's good. We don't need the law to be good and do what's right. You need the word to obey God. If you have the heart of God's servant, you don't need a book to tell you when you're right or you're wrong. You need the book to give you instructions on staying right. And it will already be in you and motivated and inspired by what? Love. So the heart of a servant, or better yet, the mind of a servant, will always choose God, which is love. The mind of a servant will deny themselves. The mind or heart of a servant will serve others and render obedience to God. And as I close, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. And the Spirit of love is a life of service to God for others. And see, God did it first. God the Father gave his Son. And God the Son gave his life. And my question to you is, what would you give for his sake? Matthew 10:39 says, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 19:24, he says, what should we do? Deny himself. Take up your cross and what? Follow me. That's what Jesus said. The mind of a true servant will seek to please and serve God and others in love. And if you're on this call today and you have not rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, now is your accepted time of salvation. Now is that time, because we can't live life like we want to live life and call ourselves Christians. And those of you that are Christians, if you know that you haven't been living right, if you know you haven't been serving others or in the spirit of love, if you hear me, that means you're still breathing. We still got an opportunity to get it right. Confess your faults to one another the Lord will forgive us. And if you are on this call and you have not, you are not a Christian, I've preached to you that gospel, how Jesus died for your sin, how he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose again the third day. And I told you that you cannot be a Christian with sin in your life. We are dead. We are slaves. We are captives to sin. And sometimes we think it's okay because nothing has happened at this moment. But you're in a terrible state. We can't pray, which is a horrible condition to be in. And we can't make heaven our home when sin is present in your life. But how do we fix that? Hearing the story of the gospel, knowing that you were dead to sin, how do you fix that? You have to contact the blood. How do you contact the blood? In a watery grave of baptism. You heard Jesus died for you. He was buried. He rose again. And I don't want to live the life that I've been living anymore. I want to get my life right. And you have to, you heard that story. You have to believe it. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And in Hebrews 11:6, you must believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then you must repent. Luke 13:3, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. You have to say, I'm tired of living the life, a selfish life. I'm ready to change. You do a 180. You make up your mind. Make the choice to change your mind and to live for Christ. He said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then we must confess, Matthew 10:32 and Acts 8:36-37. What confession do we make? That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized. Acts 2:38, for the remission of your sins. And upon that obedience, Acts 2:47, then the Lord will add you to the church. That's where the saved at. And you continue steadfast in the doctrine, singular, of Christ. And possess daily that mind or that heart of a servant. Make a choice daily to choose God and his righteousness. And then one day, you will be able to say, hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is my message to you all on this afternoon. And it is my prayer that something that was said on this hour will challenge you in your belief and encourage you to focus on God and to have a true heart of a servant for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.